some serious beard envy going on right now. Daniel got to talk to Tim. I get to talk to you, Grace and Peace. If I were going to summarize what I want to say, it would be, you need to help Tim believe what he was just told. But here's how the Apostle Paul summarizes it when he charges congregation in Thessalonica. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Grace and peace, as you receive a new pastor, the call for you is the same: to respect, to esteem highly in love, and to be at peace amongst yourselves. R-E-S-P-C-T. You know the song, right? It doesn't matter what it means to me, but to our Lord, part of what it means to respect him, of course, is to respect him as a bearer of God's image, but it is also to respect him in his position as the one called to shepherd you. What's implied here is the respect of listening. Listening through the word of God brought to bear into your lives by Tim, yes, even at places where it admonishes you. At those places where you're like, I don't like what you're saying. To receive the word with respect. And to have the respect in those places where you don't like what you hear, to actually talk to Tim and not about him. It is a respect both of listening and a respect of speaking. In the verse right before the one I just read, Paul tells the church in Thessalonica to encourage one another, to speak past all the layers to the very core fears in order to give courage. Look, pastors need your encouragement. Coursing through Tim's heart are the very questions that I think every leader asks themselves. Do I have what it takes? Will the battles be worth it? Am I enough? Will they actually follow me? Look, help Tim answer those questions by speaking words of encouragement to you. Too often, pastoral ministry feels like Good Friday and never Easter. You need to open windows with your words that say, this is how God is at work among us. Here's how we use that sermon you preached. Send an email, the good kind, with your name attached. That says, look at what God is doing in this church. That says, thank you for the word that you spoke. That says, I prayed for you this morning. Encourage him. It's how you respect. When you respect, you esteem them highly in love because of your work. I don't know what you esteem. Maybe it's a person or a possession or a pet. You know, but here's what I do know is whatever you esteem highly in love, I'm pretty sure you're attentive to it. Like you understand it. You give it proper attention and understand its context. And as you receive Tim and his family, be attentive to their uniqueness, to their story, to the gifts that God has given him, to the glory that he has, and to the shadow that comes along with all of our glories. Be attentive, but also be protective. For Christmas, some of the campus ministers that I supervise with RUF pooled their money and got me one of the best gifts I've ever gotten. It's this Shun kitchen knife. Have you ever seen these? They're like very, it's like a samurai sword, like the blade's folded steel, and it's ridiculously sharp. And it was something I would never buy for myself, but it was this lavish gift that I esteem highly in love. And so the first thing I bought for it was this plastic protective sheath, because when I store it, I don't want it to lose its sharpness. The vows you just made, the call that you've given to Tim, part of what is structured in there is protection so that he doesn't lose his sharpness. Provide for him materially. Make sure he takes the vacation that you've granted him. Give him a sabbatical when it's time. Protect the sharp edge by esteeming him highly in love. This attentiveness and protectiveness, I think, are key parts of what it takes for us to live at peace among one another. Is when you're attentive and protective, here's what I think we have to do again and again and again, is adjust our expectations of one another. Because you know what causes the absence of peace? It's unmet expectations that are inarticulate. In the calling of a new pastor, there is a necessity of adjusting your expectations. A long time ago, in a land right behind that door, Doug Corey confronted me in the hallway. I'm not sure if you remember this, Doug. I was about to be married. You pulled me aside and you said, "I'm going to tell you something that you won't believe right now, but you need to know is true." You were right. This is what Doug said. "Receive your wife. Don't try to remake her." It was some of the best marriage advice I've ever gotten. It gets in pretty much every homily I do. It was good not just for a marriage, but for most any relationship, I think particularly that of a new pastor to a new church. Receive Tim. Don't try to remake him. Oh, there's not a temptation, right? He's new, you're calling him to the church. We don't want to remake him. We like him. And yet we import all these paradigms of past pastors or previous experience into churches, and there's a tendency to want to try to mold someone into our inarticulated expectations. The pastoral vocation is fraught, both externally and internally, with expectations. I think Daniel was getting at them. Like, there is a subtle expectation to want to receive Tim, not as a fellow disciple, but as the Messiah. Amen. Amen and amen. But there will be a temptation that he faces to be omnipresent for his family, for the church, for places of crisis, omnicompetent to provide the counsel that's needed, to knock it out of the park with a sermon, to cast vision, to bring counsel, to evangelize, to pursue people, to serve, to love his neighbor, to serve the larger church, all with a good attitude and a healthy lifestyle. He better exercise, and you know, Luther used to talk about praying for hours because the day was so intense, and you need a rich internal life, and all in a way that models to us what we're supposed to be as Christians. One survey ask key members of a church for the minimum expectations of what a pastor was to do in a week and the time that they thought should be spent in those essential tasks, and it resulted in a job description that all totaled up to 114-hour work week. It is a vocation fraught with the expectation to be omnicompetent and omnipresent. And Tim's not. Receive him as a fellow disciple. As you point him to the Messiah. Too often, pastors get too much credit like a quarterback and too much blame. Don't act like every problem is his to solve, every ministry his to do, every need his to meet, every weakness his fault, or every W his success. But respect, esteem highly in love, and live at peace among yourselves, because that is how Jesus has moved towards each of you. So move that way towards your new pastor, gifted and given to you by God for your good.